Amen. I want to encourage you to grab your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. And as you're turning to Nehemiah chapter 5, for those that are on the far left sides of the aisle, if you would do me a favor and just pass out those cards that are right there on the floor to you. We've done this every single week. This is for the membership of Champion Forest, members only. And this card looks a little like this right here. And it's got our card in there, our next commitment card. Now, many of you have come prepared already, and you filled out your card. We've got envelopes if you need them. The cards are in the envelopes as they're being passed. And we want every family to have one of these cards, and we'll refer to it a little bit later on. But after our message today, we're going to have an opportunity to lay our commitments before the Lord. And so if you are a member engaged in the life and ministry of Champion Forest, we want every single person here to have one of these envelopes, the cards in there. And again, many of you came prepared. I've told you before that I have in my office a file box that is filled with articles from the history of our church, service programs, there's newsletters, there are old school, remember the Olin Mills picture, directories that we have? And there are many of you in here that have been around for a while, and you've probably gotten a text from me in the last month as I've scoured those directories, taking pictures of you from 20 and 30 years ago. And I said, who is this? ! I've loved going through these. And that box is here, right? You see it. It says church history. All right, it's filled. And it's got all sorts of folders in here, starting with 1968 and 69, when this church was just in the heart of our first pastor. And it goes all the way through present day. I've got blueprints in here, all sorts of things. I love going through it. And this is why I said when we started our next project, we called it Next on Purpose. Because what we're doing here in this generosity initiative, this building campaign, if you will, it's not new to Champion Forest. It is simply what's next for Champion Forest. And I illustrate it in this way. This is one of the first building campaigns of this church. It's from 1976. And you open it up, it's got a great note from our first pastor, Robin Guest. The title of this program was called Together We Build. And the church at that time, 1976, was trying to raise $400,000 because it needed to add 12 pews, 12, to the original chapel that would increase seating capacity by 21%. They were growing at such a rate, they needed to add 12 pews. They also wanted to expand their life group Sunday school space. And so they had Sunday school rooms as a part of that, nursery rooms as a part of that. I've loved looking through these. The steering committee for that building program, I told him earlier I was going to call him out. Mr. Frank D'Artes was on this committee right here. He suited up, looked so good. This was 1976, Together We Build. This one is Building Together by Faith, 1981. And they had already outgrown their 12 pews there at Greenwood Forest, and they needed to build a new worship center. And so that's what this building campaign is all about. You've got a letter from the pastor, a story of their history and growth, and by faith, the need is great. There's a great shot of what they were trying to do. It's much like our next brochure that we passed out. And again, just some incredible names. If you've been around here for Champion Forest for any amount of time, you know these names, and I'm just reading them to give honor to whom honor is due. Bob Jester was the campaign director, sitting right over here. Gene Birdwell was a part of this building process. Gary Ayler, Lee Harn, both a part of this. Craig Reynolds, the Astro great, he was a part of this. I'm having lunch with him in a couple of weeks. But that was 1981, Building Together by Faith. You see the theme, Together We Build, Building Together by Faith. It's always been in the heart of this church to expand, to reach, and it's beautiful. This one is from November the 7th, 1993. Another campaign, just like we're in. The title of this campaign is called A Church on the Move. And this campaign was to relocate, to buy the acreage, and to build the first phase of the location that we're currently sitting in. And they worship down in our Family Life Center. That was the first phase. And they had plans, and you can read all about it in here. They had plans to build eventually the worship center that we're sitting in. But again, just great names. Charlotte Jester, Ken Barrett. I could go on and on. Jerry Atkins, Bill Up Church. Again, many of you know these names. The great Jimmy LeBeau, such an incredible history here at Champion Forest, A Church on the Move. I'll do one more. This is from 2008. So we've gone from 76 to 81 to 93. This was 2008. This was called Impact for Him, for Every Generation. This is under the leadership of Pastor David Fleming. And again, it's just a great little deal. They were trying to raise $40 million in 2008. There was a recession, and Champion Forest, you came through, and you raised it all, and you built the commons that connected these buildings together. You built the children's building that our children are currently occupying. You built the new student ministry building that our students are currently in. All of that happened in 2008, and this was state of the art right here. I mean, even in the back, look at this. You got a CD-ROM. You could take it home. Plug it in. Students, this was so cool back in the day, all right, these CDs. I'll explain it to you later. But again, a three-year campaign just like the one we're in, over and above our regular tithes and offerings. It was the Impact campaign. And in every single one of these campaigns, Champion Forest, you have stepped up and you have committed to do what you have sensed, what we have sensed God is leading us as a church to do. And this week, I've got to tell you, for me, leading up to this weekend, it has just been a week of gratitude at the sheer faith of this congregation, the joy of this congregation, the spirit of this congregation. I have taken phone calls, I've received texts, I've received emails. I've been in stores where there were members of Champion Forest present, and all have been so encouraging about today. Are you excited about today? Are you scared about today? How are you feeling? We're so excited. It's all been so encouraging. It's been so uplifting. And we come to today, what we've been praying for and planning on and anticipating. Really, as a church, we've been in this since October, publicly just for the last month or so, but as a team, over a year, been working on this, and today is Commitment Sunday. And I want to bring a message from the book of Nehemiah that I'm calling Worthy of Our All. We've been making our way through this book, and I want us to look at several verses from three different chapters in our time together today. And as I always say, if you've missed any of these messages, I really want to encourage you to go online and listen to them. It'll help you with context. These messages build on top of one another as we make our way through the book of Nehemiah. You can get the messages online. You can download our app. All of my notes that I preach from are there, so you can print them out and study from them. And again, you know, if you're on your way to the gym or on your way to work, or if you're having trouble sleeping, turn me on, all right? I will put you right to sleep. And listen to these messages. And Nehemiah, as we have mentioned, has returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. For 100 years, the city of Jerusalem had lied in desolation. The walls were broken down, the gates of the city were burned, and Nehemiah wants to go back. God has put it in his heart to go back and rebuild this city of Jerusalem. Now he gets the blessing of the Persian king. And with that blessing, he goes back, and when he returns to Jerusalem, he finds a people defeated. The temple had been rebuilt, but it was just a shell of its former glory. And the walls completely crumbling. And what really upset Nehemiah, perhaps more than anything else, is that he looked at the walls down and he looked at the shell of the temple. And it broke his heart because to him, this was a stain on the reputation of God, the reproach of God. And so he rallied the people and he calls them to this incredible work to rebuild the city, to build up the walls. We saw last week that he fights through opposition. Sometimes he confronts it head on. At other times he ignores it. We saw him deal with inward conflict. But one thing was certain, no matter what was coming his way, he was going to lead the people of Israel to complete the task that God had called them to. The project of rebuilding the wall was not going to stop. Now, the major point that we're going to look at today out of this passage of scripture we're highlighting this morning, it fits perfect with where we are at on this Commitment Sunday, all right? One major point to this sermon. I've told you before in seminary class, one of the students said to our preaching professor, how many points should a sermon have? And the professor said it should at least have one, all right? At least let it have one point. Well, here is the point of the sermon today. I'll put it on the screen for you. What makes sacrifice significant is the motive behind it. Sacrifice is the theme of the message today. God really is worthy of our all. Nehemiah chapter 5, starting in verse 14, the Bible says this: Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. The former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them their daily ration, 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. I also persevered in the work on this wall, and we acquired no land, and all of my servants were gathered there for the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 men, Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now, what was prepared at my expense for each day was one ox, 6 choice sheep and birds, and every 10 days, all kinds of wine in abundance. Yet for all of this, I did not demand the food allowance of the governor because the service was too heavy on this people. And then he just breathes a one-sentence prayer. This is one of the 9 prayers in the book of Nehemiah. Remember for my good, oh my God, all that I have done for this people. Here, we see the personal sacrifice of Nehemiah. As governor, he had a right to tax the people. It was in his purview, it was under his authority, like his predecessors. He could have taxed them, the scripture says, 40 shekels of silver. That was part of the daily ration assigned to the governor. But Nehemiah says he didn't do it. He refused to lay heavy burdens on the people. He refused to take advantage of the people. He refused to fill his pockets at the expense of the people. Instead, he worked alongside them. We saw that last week. Nehemiah was always leading by example. And look at this, verse 17 and 18. Out of his own pocket, what was prepared at my expense, he fed 150 people a day at his table for 12 years. That's not cheap. 150 a day for 12 years. It was a sacrifice. That's over 4,000 oxen. That's over 26,000 sheep that was his, that he had butchered and served so that 150 people of his table could eat. Nehemiah didn't exploit or take advantage of the people. but instead he sacrificed and he served them. And as a result, the work of God, which Nehemiah put above everything else, God, this work you have called me to, he put it even before personal expense. And because of his sacrifice, the work of God continued to move forward. So much so that despite outward opposition, despite inward conflict that we looked at last week, the work of God in rebuilding the wall, led by Nehemiah and the people of Israel together, get this, it had been destroyed for over 100 years. And because of their sacrifice, it was rebuilt in 52 days. It's a miracle. I mean, look at Nehemiah 6. Look at verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. This is August to October time frame. In 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us, look at this, were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem. That's a way of saying their pride was crushed. It's a way of saying that they realized that they weren't all that. That maybe Israel's God was alive. And maybe Israel's God was for them because, look at what it says, the enemies of God, look at this, they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. I love that. At the end of the building campaign, at the end of the project, wasn't talk about how great Nehemiah was. Wasn't much talk about how great the people of Israel was. What was everybody saying? This could only happen with the help of our God. I'm praying that that'll be the case for us, Champion Force, that at the end of this next project, it's not going to be about us, not about our glory, not about me, not about you. It's about what God is doing through us. It's all for his glory. And that's exactly what kept Nehemiah going. What a feat. It's an accomplishment. 52 days, something that hadn't been done in over 100 years, and I remind you, he completed the project in 52 days. That's 2 months. But I remind you, he prayed for 4 months before he ever asked permission to come back to Jerusalem and start rebuilding the walls. For 4 months, he prayed. And in 2 months, something that hadn't been accomplished in 100 years is accomplished. What's the point? The point is, God can do more in a moment, us seeking him, than we can in a lifetime of striving in our own efforts. Let's make sure that whatever we attempt to do as individuals, as a family, as a church, whatever we believe God is calling us to, let's make sure that it's saturated in prayer so that we can have his help and accomplishing whatever it is he's called us to do. It was clear to Nehemiah and to Israel. It was clear to Israel's enemies. This work, 52 days at this project, it could only be done with the help of our God. And this help started in prayer. Now, we see Nehemiah sacrificing. We know the people sacrificed as well. This is what chapter 7 is all about. Just look in your Bibles there. We're not going to read it all. It's essentially a genealogy. And if you go to Ezra chapter 2, I'm not going to have you turn there, but you'll read essentially the same names. This is the second time that this genealogy is written in Scripture. It's very interesting. It's the names of people that had returned to Jerusalem during the very first return back to the Holy Land. They had been exiled to Babylon. Persian takes over Babylon. And when Cyrus, the first king of Persia, gets installed as leader at leadership, he tells the Jewish people, y'all can go back home. But only about 2% of the people, according to scholars, choose to go back. Most of them had built homes there in Babylon, i.e. Persia. Most of them were comfortable. They had their lifestyles there. Many of them were born into captivity. Only 2% of the population that was exiled went back. And so Scripture gives us their names, get this, on two different occasions. Why? It's essentially giving credit to who credit is due. It's a way of honoring what they did. I mean, returning to Jerusalem, talk about sacrifice. Their homes were in Babylon. Why go back? They don't even know what awaits them there. Plus, it's 800 to 1,000 miles. That's like me and you starting this afternoon on foot, walking to Colorado. Who wants to do that? No Buc-ee's back in the day, all right? No thanks. Again, they had homes, they had lives. But this group of Jewish pilgrims went back, not even knowing if they would make the survive the trek. They sacrificed. They went by faith. And they gave. Look at verse 70 through 72. Nehemiah 7. Now some of the heads of the father's houses gave to the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 derricks of gold, 50 basins, 30 priest garments, and 500 minas of silver. And some of the heads of the father's houses gave into the treasury of the work 20,000 derricks of gold, 2,200 minas of silver. And what the rest of the people gave was 20,000 derricks of gold, 2,000 minas of silver, and 67 priest garments. These people were poor. Didn't have much of anything. And yet together, and we see this theme in Nehemiah as well, together, side by side, 30 plus times around the wall, together. So-and-so was next to so-and-so. 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 Together, these people sacrificed, they worked, and they gave toward the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And some scholars estimate, verse 72 and 73, the derricks of gold, the minas of silver, the priest's garments here, some scholars estimate it to be worth around $5 million. Together. They had nothing individually. But together, they gave. It's a tremendous sacrifice. And like the credits in a movie, you know, we get through with the movie and we just turn the channel or leave. Nobody sits through the credits. Well, that's what Nehemiah 7 is. It's the credits. Because God, in two different places in Scripture, Ezra 2 and here in Nehemiah 7, says, no, I want to make sure that these people who sacrificed, these people who gave, I want to make sure they get the credit. I want you to know who they are. It's kind of like Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of faith. I want you to know who they are. And he rolls the credit of name after name after name. Commentator Warren Wiersbe said this, the important thing is not to count the people, but to realize these people counted. Nehemiah and all the people knew that God and what he had called them to was worthy of their all. And so they sacrificed. Now I want you to go back to that major point we established at the beginning of this message. I said, what makes sacrifice significant is the motive behind it. See, it's not sacrifice in and of itself that's important. We can make sacrifices and it not be an act of worship. I mean, this is the history of Israel. Isaiah chapter 1, the prophet Isaiah, he turns and he says, what to me, verse 11, is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings and of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts, bring no more vain offerings. Your incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, getting everybody together. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. This is the Lord speaking. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen because your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. David said it like this. Look, it's not about sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a contrite heart, Psalm 51, 16 and 17. Micah said the same thing, speaking on behalf of God, don't bring me your offerings, but instead walk justly, be kind, walk humbly with your God. Jesus, the same thing in Matthew chapter 5. He said, if you're bringing your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave the gift, go make it right, then come back and give the altar. Paul said the same thing. He said, if you can have all of the prophetic gifts, you can be filled with the Spirit, have all of these things, but if you have not love, you have gained nothing. Sacrifice. Void of the right motive. It's empty. It's vain. It's not an act of worship. What makes sacrifice significant, what makes it an act of worship, is the motive behind it. And we see two motives that bounce off the pages of Scripture time and time again in the book of Nehemiah. Two motives that fueled, that motivated their sacrifice. The first was the glory of God. You trace this work back to the very beginning, it was all about the glory of God. Nehemiah 2:8, he said, God's good hand was upon me. Nehemiah 2:12, he said, God put it in my heart to do this. Nehemiah 2:20, he said, the God of heaven will make us prosper. Nehemiah 4:15, God frustrated the plans of the enemy. Nehemiah 4:20, God will fight for us. We read it today. Nehemiah 6:16, this was accomplished with the help of our God. The glory of God. This is why Nehemiah and the people of Israel stayed committed and they rebuilt the walls. The city of God was in reproach. His name was being negatively reflected upon. And Nehemiah and the people weren't having it. They said, this is for the glory of God. And time after time that he rallied the people, this is what he rallied them to. You're doing a great work for the glory of God. Motivation one that fueled sacrifice, the glory of God. Motivation two, the good of people. Again, we see it at every turn in the book of Nehemiah. He had the good of the people in his mind and heart as he led them. This is why we saw today in our reading, Nehemiah 5. He didn't exploit the people. He didn't take advantage of them. It's why in Nehemiah chapter 3 that he puts them together in family units because he knew they knew each other. They loved each other. They'd fight for one another. It's why he gave them a sword. It's why he gave them a trowel so that one could build and one could be on the lookout. It's why he put watchmen over the city. It's why the people rallied to build the wall no matter how tough it got, no matter how tired they were. Talk about sacrifice. Nehemiah 4:23 last week said they didn't take off their clothes. They didn't stop building. They didn't put their weapons down until the project was completed. Why? Because this wall needed to be built for the sake of the people. It's for the glory of God and for the good of people. They needed safety. They needed protection. So they were working together, looking out for one another. And again, their names are listed twice in Scripture because of their sacrifice and commitment to the work of God. What made their sacrifice significant was the motive behind it. And it was the glory of God and the good of people that fueled their sacrifice and motivated them to accomplish what seemed impossible. Sacrifice. In this brochure, 1976, one of the very first campaigns of this church, I told you before, they were trying to raise $400,000 And speaking of sacrifice, Pastor Robin Guess, our first pastor, penned a letter to the congregation. I want to read a portion of it as it relates to sacrifice. He says, to the generous fellowship of believers, once again, we are called upon to rise and build. He's taking language from the book of Nehemiah. He said, together we build. It's one of the most exciting ventures we've ever launched. It'll be the most demanding challenge we've ever undertaken. That's why, look at this, sacrifice is the key to success. Our total contributions may vary according to the wages earned. $100 to one person may equal $10,000 to another. However, equal sacrifice will do the job. I offer no apology for going after all of it. I love this man. I never met him and I love him. He said, all of us will reach a new spiritual peak in our lives as we give with equal sacrifice. And then I loved how he signed it off, rejoicing with a big hallelujah. Robin Guess. I told you my heart's been full this week, hearing stories. And what I've heard is stories of equal sacrifice. I've got pictures sent to me of children who are selling cookies and bringing the proceeds to the church. Got a picture yesterday, some sweet young girls at a lemonade stand in a neighborhood, selling lemonade to bring their offering to the Lord. Had a man come into my office this week. By his own admission, he said, Pastor, I don't have much, but God has woke me up two times during this next series we've been going through in the middle of the night, and he told me to bring you this. And he brought a tub in. And he said, this is what I have as retirement. It had been a collection of silver that he's been collecting for years. Estimates it to be somewhere around $30,000 to $40,000. And he said, I'm giving it to the Lord. We prayed right there in my office. So he made his sacrifice and we dedicated it to the Lord. I got a text message on Friday from two people that aren't even members of our church. They watch online. And they said, I quote, we feel the Lord leading us to be a part of next steps at Champion Forest. We believe in you and the church to do what God has called you to do. We are both going to give $100,000 now and $75,000 for the next 2 years. So we're committing $250,000 each for a total of $500,000 to this 3-year project. And they're not even members of our church. Pastor Ramon. Pastor Ramon messaged me yesterday. We have a man in our Spanish congregation that'll meet right after us. He's an engineer and he's here on a work visa. And because of these unsettling times in our immigration system, he may have to return back to his country he came from. He's working on it, going through the right process, the paperwork to stay. But as he's been here working, this church has ministered to him in an amazing way. He said, despite the uncertainty, my faith remains firm. Since arriving at Champion Forest, the church has deeply impacted my life and the life of my family. He said, I don't know what will happen or where I will be, but I give in faith because just as the church has been a blessing to me and my family, it will be a blessing to others who do not yet know Jesus. All kinds of gifts, all kinds of people who have said yes to the Lord. I'll sacrifice, I'll work, and I'll help take my place and stack some bricks on the wall. Not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice, all for the glory of God and the good of people. A 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, none of what we're sacrificing towards today from a physical standpoint will probably be here. But the impact of our sacrifice and what we're doing in this moment, it'll last forever. And the lives of men and women and boys and girls who hear the gospel message because of our faith and sacrifice today and are discipled in their faith, champion for us for the glory of God and the good of people. Let's add to our church history today. Let's stretch. Let's, by faith, sacrifice. Because he and his kingdom is worthy of our all.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.